This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytech, brings you Blowing Bubbles. Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world. How are people living their bubble lives? Working from home, keeping kids entertained, and staying connected and getting exercise. And how are these things presenting us with the opportunities to find new ways of living? Every weekday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann, Shan Gallagher, and Mara Karatai reach out from their bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world. Broadcast on Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz and sustainablelens.org, bringing connection, joy, kindness and peace in the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Sawyers Bay, Dunedin, and I'm joined from Whakatane by Mawera Karatai. Kia ora, Mawera.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. We didn't have a live show last week because we had a recording from the Peace for Palestine concert.
How was that?
It was fun, actually. It was interesting challenge, recording in a church hall with a gale force wind blowing outside, so the whole building was shaking. But I think it worked.
The gale force winds added to the drama.
It added to the difficulty of picking up the voice. The music was okay.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of shows coming up that you're organising.
Yes, I'm very excited that my students from the University of Otago who are doing a paper in their Masters of Sustainable Practice, which is called Contemporary Issues in Sustainability, are going to all be making a podcast for one of their outputs for the paper. And we're going to play all the podcasts and interview all of them as part of that. So there's going to be 22, I think, different amazing young people and not so young people from all walks of life that we'll be interviewing as part of that series. So I think we've got a name, so we'll announce that after our next session, and yeah, then we're good to go.
And I talked to them, was it this week?
Yeah, last week.
They're all doing such interesting things.
They really are. They're such a diverse group of people. Blew my mind.
And talking of blowing a mind, who are we introducing today?
It is my great pleasure to introduce one of Jack's schoolmates, actually, and a classmate of Jack's, newly elected to the Student Council, a member of the Interact Club, currently working towards his Duke of Edinburgh Silver Award, and having just facilitated the creation of an incredible mural in one of our most troubled areas in our community, Mr. Nate Parsons. Nate, welcome. It is a joy to have you here with us today.
Hi. Yeah, it's really cool to be on the podcast today. Very good pleasure.
Yay.
Kia ora, Nate. We just had a holiday. How did that go?
Easter holiday. That was really good. Yeah, celebrated with going away to some other places around New Zealand and hang out with family.
Sounds good. How's the Duke of Edinburgh going?
That's going good. I've just finished, I think it might be my practice journey or my start journey. And yeah, that's really cool. I did it with, I think his name was Jerry, Duke of Edinburgh man. And yeah, it was really cool. Really cool to get some more skills and stuff.
Where did you go for your practice journey?
So we were at school studying for a day, and that was pretty good. We got to learn about like all the survival and bush stuff. And then we went up to Coey Point and walked to that track and turned around and came back. But we got to learn about like contour lines of hills and like how to use a compass and how to direct one and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that was really cool.
And so that is the first of your three journeys that you'll take for your silver. So then you've got two overnight journeys still to have, which will be really good. And now you are armed with the skills that you need to be the beginnings of becoming independent in the bush, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. And also it's my bronze.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and that the cool journey ahead, going from your bronze to your silver and then through to your gold before you leave school.
Yeah,
so,
that'll be cool. Hopefully I can complete them all.
You will. You will.
Nate, we've just gone through this. In fact, this is episode 510 of Glowing Bramble's. And I think we've just missed our fourth birthday, Muira. When we missed 500, we promised ourselves we'd have a celebration when we got to our fourth birthday. And we've just missed that one as well.
So we're celebrating by having a very nice young man talking about his mural, which is really lovely.
Jack's going to get to be 21 and no one's going to notice because you'll forget. But we did start the show at the start of COVID. So it's worthwhile talking to someone in year 10 about COVID, even though it's history now. We started the show asking everybody how their bubble life was going. How did your bubble life go, Nate?
It was really cool. Since I live on a farm, I lived in Edgecombe at the time, like just out of Edgecombe. It's really cool because on the farm we got to do activities that you might not be able to do in town. So like my parents made like a track that we had to do. So it had like bales, it was made out of bales and like all of that kind of stuff. And we did like a little camping trip. So we did camping, but we just drove on the farm and camped on the farm somewhere. And yeah, it was really cool. We made fires and all sorts of things.
And have you gotten used to being back at school? Everything's like back to normal?
Yeah, everything's back to normal. It's been good and I hope we never have to go into bubbles again. Because it was really annoying being like separated from people and all your like opportunities get changed because you can't actually do them because of the bubble and stuff. So yeah, it was really cool getting back into school and stuff.
You don't feel as though you missed out on part of your education?
Yeah, I don't feel like, oh, I feel like I did miss out on a big part of my education, but that year that I was at school, I was kind of retaking all of my stuff again because I was still in primary school, so yeah, it was kind of just whatever.
Let's take the first of your music tracks. We're going to have LAB, Whakatane Band. Oh no, we're going to have the part two. It's not really part two, it's the second song with the same name. Anyway, why this one?
Well, I think this song is, I don't really know, I quite like this song. I think it's got a good vibe to it. And yeah.
We'll be right back.
Nate, this morning I got a message from one of your teachers, Mrs. Mackay. Talking about this amazing mural that you have facilitated in Kōpiopio here in Whakatane. What made you do that?
Well, it was kind of last year I did a social action in year nine, and it was about, I think it was Miss Mackay's first year of teaching social studies, and I was like, oh, this is cool, and I got to know her and stuff, and so we came up with a plan. They were called social actions, and that's what we were doing. And I decided, or she, the council reached out to us, and they were like, oh, do you want to come present and do like a little workshop? So we went and did that. And then they liked the presentation so much. The presentation was on about like safety in our areas of Whakatane. And so, yeah, I did that. And then they asked if I could come back and present to the mayor. And then I was like, that's pretty cool, like, to ask that. And they were pretty keen with supplying us with stuff to make a mural and stuff, because that's what we were talking about, is showing ideas of how we could upgrade existing places. And so at the start of this year, I decided, you know what, I actually should go and talk to them or get in touch more. And so, yeah, I got in touch, and that's how it kind of all started.
There were quite a few people involved in the project. How many people were involved, and what were they all doing, and how did you find them?
Well, me and Mr. Mackay had made like a rough plan, and we were like, okay, this is what we want. We didn't know any idea how we were going to make the mural, what kind of people we were going to get to paint the mural and everything. And so we reached out to our Whakatane High School Mural Club, and we were like, hey, are you guys interested in painting a mural? So Miss Murphy, Tara Murphy, she's the leader of that. And we got 14 students who were keen on doing it. And yeah, from then on, we were just working with the council back and forth, trying to get funding, all the approvals and stuff. And yeah, so 14 students, yeah.
That's so good. And how long did it take you to do it?
To complete, like, paint it all, or?
Yeah.
Well, to paint it all, it took 3 days. We smashed it out in 3 days. And I've just finished editing the video to send off to the Nature of Cities Festival, which is a overseas festival in Berlin. So, yeah, that took a while. But we interviewed the public and stuff around the area and got their thoughts on it. And, yeah, it took about a month It took about a month for us to get all the approval and everything, but I don't think we would have got that if we didn't have our plan set out of what we wanted to do and, yeah, the area we wanted to work in.
If you were going to encourage another group of young people from a local school to do a similar project, what would be the best advice that you could give them to get them started?
Well, I think the best advice would be to, one, really look around or think about an area that would be in need of a mural or a place that would really cherish that mural. I also think that it's important that you have a really good plan to do that, and that you also connect with the right groups. Or you getting into groups like the Youth Council and stuff, that really helps you get a plan done, because you're known already from other groups. And yeah, I think you just need to put lots of your time into it. And yeah.
Cool. What sort of information did they want to see in your plan?
Well, they didn't really ask for anything. I came up with a design, like a really rough design, like a sketch out and stuff, and the council seemed to be really, and I don't know, they seemed to be really happy with the idea that we were creating, and they liked that it had flowers, it brought green space, it brought vibrancy, and yeah, they just really liked the idea of putting it in Kōpiopio as well, which is a place where isn't treated as nice as others. But yeah,
is there anything that you've put on, that like a coating that you can put on it to protect it from like graffiti and, you know, and other things like that?
Yeah, so we haven't put on at the moment, but we're planning on putting a UV coat to protect from the sun, because it's quite a sunny spot in the afternoon. And we're also planning on putting on a graffiti shield, so that's to stop tagging and stuff, and so we can just wipe it off when something like that happens.
Oh, that is so good because it's absolutely beautiful. You must be incredibly proud of it.
Yeah, we are really proud of it, and we've come up with a really good name for our mural as well. It's called Pua Waitanga, which means the seed is blossoming. And we thought this just like intertwines so well because we took a blank canvas, like a blank wall, which is representing like the seed, and then we've turned it into something where, oh, something that is like bright, colourful, and that hopefully people in that area and community will enjoy. And that is kind of representing like blossoming. And we hope to also uplift and inspire others to do these kind of things for their areas as well. So that was also really good. Yeah.
The people that you worked with from your local, from the mural club within the school, which funnily enough, I mean, I have a lot to do with school. I had no idea that we had a mural club, so that this was news to me. But
Yeah.
were they people that you'd worked with before, or was this all new relationships?
No, quite a lot of the people I already know and I have worked with before. But yeah, even some people I didn't realize, and I hope that this showing that a mural club and stuff can do things like this, I hope that this promotes it and gets more people involved with some things that they might not have known about, which is like you said, you didn't even know that we had a mural club. But yeah.
Is that something that that your youth council, the Whakatane District Youth Council, could kind of facilitate so it became an inter-school thing rather than just a Whakatane High School thing? Like, could there be a community-wide mural club?
Yeah, I think that would be very cool having a community-wide mural club. Maybe I'll bring that up in the next youth council meeting. But yeah, I think that's really important is to have a mural club because art brings quite like a nice vibe, I don't know, into the town. Like everyone's quite excited about art. Like or even all the homeless people in Kopi, they were all like really excited with what we've been doing and they were all cheering us on. And even the gangs around the area were cheering us on and stuff. So yeah, that's really cool. I think that it brings people together.
It's such a complex situation in such a condensed space, our little community of Kōpiopio, because like you say, that a lot of our homeless whānau hang out there. We've got a lot of people from gangs, a lot of gang families use the space. It's not, I think we've got two liquor stores and three vape shops in about 20 metres of street. It's a pretty complex space. And did any of that bother you? Like, as you were coming, putting this plan together, was any of that of concern?
Well, it was in the back of people's minds, and to try get the students to come go, some families would be quite wary of letting their kids even walk in Kopi. And yeah, it wasn't really put to mind that well, but we did have that in the back of our mind, thinking like things could happen, and we had plans if things would happen. But I think just with like all the community around us, like all the people from the shops and everything, they were being really supportive and like letting us know if we needed stuff and yeah, all that kind of thing. But I think it's really important that people do think about those areas, especially because all like a lot of schools, three of our schools are directed in Kōpiopio and students walk down there from like the ages, I don't know, 5 to 18 walk down there. So yeah, I think it's really important that we make it a space that is safe for young people, youth.
Bubble sprite of the forest of Orokonui, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui ki a koutou, ko tāhoa hau. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars in your beloved universes. And I really hope, wherever you are, and whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day, who you are. A triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique, and here making things better. Thank you. Now, I know that for us all, the last several years have been very tough, and it's important that we give ourselves and each other the time, the space, the love, the care, the compassion the empathy, the understanding, the support, the delight, the recognition, the acknowledgement that we all so richly deserve and can innately provide. I'm speaking to you now from a beautiful Stuneden morning here in Aotearoa, and I have just been out walking on the beach, which has been so beautiful, and I've been paddling in the sea, and I'm feeling very refreshed by this and very calmed by this and very grateful that I've been able to do this. And beautiful Sam, who we all know and love, has been wonderful, and he's reminded me about doing my show. And of course, you know, I'm so grateful to be part of Blowing Bubbles and part of this amazing community of stories and storytellers. And this process of raraka kōrero is so important for all of us interweaving our stories and understanding one another and our world on deeper and deeper levels. And I got to thinking, you know, about reminders and thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we are all in a position where we can say, hey, I will remind you so that you can go out and be very much in the present and relishing staring into the sun and the golden path of the sun reflected on the water, on the sand, you know. And we can ask each other. I said to Sam, will you remind me please in the morning, because, and I said I'll set an alarm as well and all this sort of thing, but you know, in acknowledging the help and the support that we need, the reminders that we need, this can be very beneficial. And Sam did kindly remind me, and now here I am talking to you, so it's worked very well. So I think for all of us, I now am going to reframe a few things in my mind and just think about who could I talk to, who could I ask for reminders, and who could I just gently remind of their own beauty, their own magnificence as time goes on. I think this is an important duty, and this is an important gift that we can give each other, whether it's speaking about how we perceive each other, how we understand one another's capacity, because sometimes we can't see these things for ourselves, whether it's the opportunity of reminding ourselves of things, that inner caretaker coming forward and speaking to us. All of these reminders are so helpful throughout our daily lives. And I know for me, this month is very busy with Wild Dunedin and all sorts of very exciting events. So I'm in the process of laying the foundation for this month. And with this reminder, I will remember to bring in and include these moments of reintegration and clarity throughout this month, so that I can have times of being very present and in the moment, and times of refocusing on what I want to create and accomplish. So I really hope for you, you can bring in reminders for yourselves. And thank you all for everything you're doing every day, and I'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Nate Parsons.
Nate, can you talk us through how you came up with your design and your design process?
Cool. Okay, yeah, I can talk about that. So we came up with the design. I was kind of just went to a mural club meeting on Monday, and I was like, okay, what kind of design are we going to have, and what can we do? And because we're entered in the Nature of Cities Festival, so our video is going out there, we read up about that, and it's about green space and putting flowery things, and like it's kind of just bringing nature into places they don't have as much. So I was kind of just writing down some flowers, writing some words down, putting circles and all those kind of things, and Val Warner, which is a student who's in the WHS Mural Club, she's turned it into a concept design, which we sent to the council. And that design included, like, it has vines, bushes, but everything you can find in New Zealand, like native flowers, introduced flowers, vines, bushes. Yeah, and so our mural kind of consists of all those kind of things, like kōwhai flowers, bluebells, harakeke, daisies, dandelions, all those kind of things. So yeah, things you'd find.
That's so nice. Common things that most of us can relate to.
Yeah.
And I imagine that this whole process has generated quite a lot of attention from, you know, from the wider community. How has that kind of all kind of manifest in your life?
So the community's like reached out to us. Like, we've had a lot of people interested, and we got people to come down to talk to us. Like, we got Frank Bedgley and Andrew Isles from the council. We got Richard Hamner and all those people come down to us. But what we didn't expect is that we'd have the Beacon come down to us, and we had like a whole section in the Beacon about that, and it had basically what I've said and other little bits from the other students who were in the thing. We've also had Te Puna o Matatua. I don't know. I think it might be a youth group that came down and videoed us and interviewed us. And yeah, we just kind of reached out to, we were interviewing like the Family Store, which is the Salvation Army down in Kopi, and the pharmacy.
Nate, you were just saying how the Beacon interviewed you and captured the stories of the other participants in the project. What was the impact on the other participants? What were the kind of things they shared?
They kind of shared how they were really proud of what they were doing in the community, and they were really proud of us for coming up with this idea and this concept. And yeah, they were just really cool that they got to be in touch with us and be a part of something like this. I think especially because it'll be around for a while, so people will be able to say, yep, I did that, and this is what we made, and this is the change that we made. So yeah, I think people are really proud of themselves for that, which is good.
Have they been involved as a mural club in many other projects?
So this was their second project, and the leader, which is Miss Murphy, as I said before, she said it's really cool how you guys got a mural that's down the main street of Kopi, because she said normally they give high school students like alleyways and stuff to do just in case they don't turn out as good. But she said it's really cool that we've done a mural that's down the main street. So I think that she's really proud of that for her own club. And yeah, so we've done only another one at school, which is on the art block. And those are the only two that we've done at the moment. Hopefully yeah, more to come.
Yeah, well, I would say there'll be heaps more to come. Do you think that if there was a community-wide group that you could engage all the other schools, like around the whole district, like in Edgecombe and Murupara and places like that, could you see that working? Like, how would you facilitate that from here?
From in Whakatane, where we are?
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be really important that we have meetings maybe like every month or so, or every few months. But I think it's important that we don't just do murals in Whakatane, that we do them in places like Taniatua and Murupara and stuff, because they're kind of like Kopi. They're not as safe as Whakatane is, or they don't come across as safe as Whakatane. So I think it's really important that we could have the meetings here, but we should be doing the murals outside of Whakatane and not in Whakatane.
Mm. And actually, it's probably better whenever you're doing community engagement is that you engage with the community in their area.
Because if we
keep asking people to come to Whakatane to talk about things, then they just don't come. So we end up never being able to have those conversations.
Yeah.
Kōpiopio has some struggles at the moment. Is that something you guys talk about much at school?
Yeah, so there is quite a lot of talk about Kōpiopio because, like I said, it's such a main area for school students, and the teachers are talking about saying things like, it's not safe enough. It's not safe enough for the students, and that should it even be allowed for students to walk down there because of how unsafe it is. I think it's just people tend to forget, or the council sometimes tends to forget about Kopi, but really, there's quite a big community in that area. It just gets forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, we live on the outskirts of Kopiopio, and we spend a lot of time there. It's where we shop. It's where we it's where we do everything, really. And it's a great little place. But I think you're quite right. It's just a forgotten place.
Yeah, it's got lots of potential.
if you were able to change something about it that would actually make the difference, what would that thing be that you would change?
I think the thing that I would change is probably managing the type of people or the type of adults who live there, and managing the streets, managing things like tagging, wiping those off, and like, or trying to even repaint some of the shops, or getting rid of some of the vape shops, trying to close those businesses down, because I don't think that's a very good influence on the people who walk through there. And yeah, just kind of doing all those things, giving it maintenance and looking after it properly.
And I agree with you. And the last time I saw, I mean, it's great you had Andrew Isles there, who's one of our councillors. The last time the councillors were there would have been just before the last local body elections. And the next time they'll be there will be just before the next local body elections, because they'll do their once in a triennium walk through Kopiopio, where they'll all make promises to fix it up and nothing ever happens.
Yeah, well, hopefully with this project that we've done, it's kind of inspired them. Wait, the kids actually do care about this area, so why don't we put stuff into there? Because I remember going to the council and talking to them, and they said, why should we do anything for Kopiopio when this percent of the population is in Whakatane? But really, all of their kids are in Kopiopio and walking through there. So I think it's, yeah, really important, really, really important to think about those spaces, not just Kopiopio, but like I said, Taniatua. It's really important to think of those spaces as just as good as Whakatane, or make them just as good.
Is art something that has been a passion of yours, or is this new?
So this whole kind of, I'd say, I wouldn't have got into this without Miss Mackay, any of this. Not just the art side. I guess I'm not good with painting art. I'm not very, like, that kind of artist, but I'm good at speaking, hopefully. And I'm also good at, like, getting messages across and, like, putting something on the paper and actually getting it up there. That's what I love to do and stuff. But I don't think I would have got into any of this without Miss Mackay telling me about community things, because I didn't even know that that was a thing when I started high school.
Yeah. And funny, you should talk about Miss Mackay. We've interviewed her. She was one of the first, I think she would have been in our first 100 people that we interviewed during the lockdowns. Yeah. But she's also been a profound influence in Jack's life as well, and I'm pretty sure that in his last time we interviewed him on the show, he also spoke about her. So yeah, and I think
that's very good. I'd say she's a really good influence, and she's just like actually changed my life so much. Like, I wouldn't have and I was lucky enough this year to be in her form class, or move into her form class, and so I can really get these kind of projects started outside of social studies from last year.
That's so good. So thinking about the future, what does the future look like for you? Where do you think you'd like to go in terms of an after-school adult life?
Well, in terms of after-school adult, I'd quite like to do architecture, because I've got a pretty good eye for architecture and good at drawing those kind of things. Like I said, different kind of in the arts area. But I also think if architecture doesn't work out, I think working alongside the council for not so privileged areas would be a really cool thing to do, and like starting groups like that, because I think that is really important, and is what, because we need to put our stuff, we need to put our thoughts into the kids and have them talk, because they're our future, we're the future, us kids. Yeah, so yeah,
there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it is to live in a community like Whakatane, and so many of the decisions that are made for the designs of your school and the delivery of your education are made by people who live in cities, for people who live in cities. Is there anything that you think you would change, like if you were in charge of our education system, what would you change to make it more effective for our in our rural communities?
I think I definitely educate about more about being safe in areas and even finding your passions and stuff. That would be a really good one, is finding yourself, educating that better, because I know high school is a rough time for lots of people, and I think that's a big thing that I would change, is finding how to find yourself in people, you know? Yeah. Because I think if you find yourself the right way, you'll end up really good, but sometimes people find it more unfortunate to find themselves, and that is a big thing on them, or that hits really hard on them, and then they get into things that aren't what they could do or their potential, you know?
It's funny you should say that about you know, being taught to your passions, teaching you to find your passion, teaching you to, you know, like, what is this thing that you want to do and how do you want your life to look, and then building your education around that. Because so many people that we've interviewed, so many adults, if they could go back, that's the kind of thing that they would want their education to be like. So, you know, you've got the generation that's been through education wishing they had that, your generation wishing you could have that. There's a theme there, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, I think in my experience in the past 3 years prior to this year, I didn't really get into much or didn't really look out much, because I wasn't, my family promoted it really well for me. Like, they were like, Nate, come do stuff. But at intermediate, Pakistani intermediate, they didn't really push you to try passions, or they didn't really have it. It was only for the best of the best or the worst of the worst. Like, there was nothing for people in mid-range or for people who were really starting out. It was just the best people get into this and then that's it. And so at the start of high school, I didn't really know anything, and wasn't really in any groups, because I wasn't the best of the best at doing everything. I was kind of just mid-range, and I still am like that, but luckily they teach to that and educate for that now.
I think you're exactly right. Whakatane High School has really nailed the ability to engage everybody in something. If there's a thing they've got a passion for, if there's a thing they want to do, there's usually something that will support that within the community.
Like walking group and all those kind of things now, which I was talking to my parents and they said they had nothing like that when I was at school. It was just the best of the best, like I said before. But I think, yeah, Whakatane High School is doing a really, really good job at finding everyone something to do, or like something to get into. They're really good at pushing you to do something.
That's a good thing.
Talking about pushing to do something, we need the second of your music tracks. It's 660, Someone to Be Around. Why this one?
Well, I think in the name, it's already kind of explains that. It's just basically, I don't know, it's like quite a positive song about saying how being around someone can change and like all those kind of things. I really like the song. Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Sounds of hope, I got nothing to show for a while now. But if you throw me a rope, I might be able to cope with you down now. Wish I could float, the water's up to my throat, but the calls to my friends, they're drowning now. Last time we spoke, I said I needed you most. I just need someone to be around. Oh, someone to be around. Someone to be around, yeah. When my legs start to shiver, my soul starts to quiver, I think of the last time you spoke to me. You said everything has a meaning. Oh, everything happens for a reason. But when someone's alone, the words on their throne, and I just long for someone to be around. Whoa, for someone to be around. Whoa, yeah, for someone to be around. Whoa, for someone to be around. From thinking about it, I'm trying to find my peace of mind, but there's no way around it, and you just compound it by saying that I'm just a waste of time. Maybe I know this, but choose not to show it. I hope I'm able to work it out. For now I will struggle with all of my troubles, 'cause I need someone to be around.
Nate, so you've done this mural. What's next?
Well, I haven't got a plan yet, but I'm sure something will pop up soon. And I am actually really excited for what's next, because I'll throw it at them. I'll push them. But yeah, it's really cool to see. It's going to be cool for the future.
I have some questions to end the show with. What's the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
In the last couple of years, probably this mural right now, because I feel like I've really pushed it out, and I've really shown people, you know, like the mural, I've really shown people what can be done and what I hope is going to be done. And yeah, this is definitely my big success.
Did you have any times when people said no, or did you have to overcome anything to make it happen?
Well, a lot of school students are like, "Ew, why are you doing that? That's weird. Why are you doing this? That's weird." But really, I don't really care what they think. And also, stuff like this, like I've had on my Instagram story, I posted like a bunch of these kind of things. Everyone's like, "Oh, that's actually so cool. Where is that? We're going to go see that," or blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I had to overcome some people saying that this was a dumb idea and stupid, but yeah, just pushed through it, really. It was like, oh, don't really care, actually.
So we're writing a book of these conversations. It's called Tomorrow's Heroes. It's our team of people doing good work. So you're in that team?
Oh, cool.
What's Thanks. Your superpower?
My superpower? My superpower is probably public speaking. Or like being able to show myself in a confident way, or like, yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, I think a big influence was my parents. They weren't the most confident speakers, but they really supported me, and they always say to me, "Be yourself. You'll be yourself, and you'll get places. And be yourself, and do this." And so, yeah, I've really tried to do that, and I've figured out that, yeah, it actually does get you places, and it actually does get you to do things. So, yeah, I think a big part of it has come from my family.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
An activist? I don't really know what an activist means. is that like promoting and like thinking
about... It means whatever you want it to mean.
Well, if it means like promoting and helping others and thinking of others, I consider myself, yeah, that's, I am an activist. And yeah, just all of that kind of stuff. I really enjoy it.
What motivates you?
What motivates me? I don't know, just seeing something change, seeing a change happen, seeing something happen really motivates me and makes me proud of not just myself, but the community that I'm doing it for or the people I'm doing it for. And I think it just makes me proud being able to be one of the role models of like my family, like my sister, and she like looks up to me for things and stuff. And yeah.
So what challenge are you looking forward to in the next year or so?
Next year or, hopefully completing the Duke of Edinburgh and, yeah, doing those, kind of getting some things and also getting a job, because I haven't gotten a job yet, getting those kind of things, but, yeah.
So you had some good advice from your parents, being yourself in your good places. Do you have any advice for our listeners?
I think my advice is just believe in yourself. Or like, believe in yourself and you'll get places. Because if you don't believe in yourself, you tend to get in a little bit of a slump or like get down. But if you believe in yourself, I feel like it really shows yourself off and yeah. You're telling yourself you can do greater things.
Sounds good to me. Aware of.
Nate, you've done an extraordinary thing with this mural for lots of different reasons. The way that you've brought a new team of people together, the way that you've engaged the wider community in it, the way that you've taken what was something that was a pretty, not very exciting bit of a pretty sad part of the community and brightened it up, made it beautiful and given us all something to admire. I remember reading this book once. Oh, no, someone was telling me about something that happens in Japanese literature where you'll just be reading, 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 and then all of a sudden there'll be this most beautiful picture, a place where you can just put your focus in, and it's to rest your eyes from all the reading, all of a sudden to rest your eyes. And that's kind of what you've done. You've created a place for us to rest our eyes and just rest ourselves, I think. Something extraordinarily beautiful. And I just wanted to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for your vision. Thank you for your passion for it and the way that you have engaged the entire community in it. Well done. Good work. And I look forward to the next one.
Thank you. Yeah, I look forward to the next one too.
Well done, Nate. We're going out to the other LAB. Oh no. You're listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. You can find us on Facebook. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie. I'm Samuel Mann in Soyuz Bay, Dunedin, with Mawira Karatai in Whakatane. And joining us also from Whakatane has been Nate Parsons. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mā te wā. I don't know how she lives the life she brings. Crazy living on a string. No one can take her down. Making trouble in her town. No one answers with the loving relations. That's the price for her freedom. She's taking all the drugs, she's free. Oh no!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.